Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome to a new episode of The Digital Coffee, and I'm your host, Brett Dice. If you please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Leave a review. Really just help with the rankings. Let me know how I'm doing. But this week, I'm going to be talking about the Overwatch 2 beta and how gaming companies should have handled the whole Russia thing. That wasn't the best way of doing it. And I'll have a pretty, actually a more intelligent way of dealing with it. Plus other latest news that are going on in the gaming industry. So I hope you have your coffee cups ready. So let's get on with it. We're going to get brewed. That's good. All right, so it looks like Battlefield 2042 finally has a new scoreboard. Everybody rejoice because the kill to death ratios are back, but you still can't scream at the other team about how better you are at killing them. But you know, that always helps with winning the game is the kill to death, not the conquest objectives, not those points, not the revives, just your kill to death ratio, because we are all living in a Call of Duty world. It's just very interesting. I don't disagree with a more revised version of it. It's just really funny just how much it was needed for people to be satisfied. Unfortunately, there is an actual skin pack you're going to be getting as well. If you updated it, looks like most of the players that did purchase Battlefield 2042, you will be getting a new skin for McKay, which actually looks pretty cool. But for the most part, that's really all there is. There may be some balancing issues, but the biggest thing was that was the scoreboard. There is no voice chat. There is nothing else. But let's be honest with you. I've argued with that too, is saying that you have Discord, you have Guilded. You don't really need the voice chat in there if you're playing with your friends anyways. It's just kind of a weird thing or a weird flex thing. I've never seen a lot of people actually use voice chat in the older ones. So if you're playing with random people, so it's a little eh, but at least we're getting a scoreboard, or we got a scoreboard. Now on to actually fixing the actual issues in Battlefield 2042, which is basically a lot of balance. Actually, balance is mostly the thing. Balancing the maps, making sure there's more cover in maps, not too many long sites where snipers can kill you. It's more of that they need to really focus on. I hope eventually it will be new destruction models, new ways of destroying things, but I don't think it's actually going to happen. But I'll be happy with new maps, specifically new maps. Now, they have said they're going to be looking into player feedback for new maps and Breakthrough, but I've heard nothing about All Out Warfare, so we'll be able to see. Unfortunately, Hazard Zone's probably going to be just a dead mode because they don't really care about it, because the players don't really care about it. All right, moving on to Elite Dangerous, and it looks like, well, console players, it's not something good for you. Elite Dangerous is going to be a PC only because of Odyssey being such a terrible launch that they've decided to focus on console and console only. So that means that you're not really going to see anything from that for quite a while until they actually get a handle on the PC conundrum of Odyssey. Odyssey was a big breakthrough because you could get out of your ship beyond just going into a vehicle. You could walk around. The problem is there was a lot of issues with that in general, and they have to go back and actually fix it. I'm happy that Elite Dangerous actually allows you to do more of a first-person shooter type with the space sim. It's similar to what Star Citizen is doing, but Elite Dangerous is actually a released game, so that has it going for it. But issues aside, it seemed like anything that came out from 2020 to 2021 was just in a terrible state, and no gaming company actually did a great job with games between those times. And hopefully 2022 will see a little bit better outcomes with games. Elden Ring is a good example of it being mostly good. Mostly good. Not great for the performance on PC, but you know what? At least they can patched it or something. I mean, most gamers aren't really complaining about that, so it doesn't really matter, but we'll see what actually happens with all this. It is very, very interesting to see just terrible states of a lot of games when they do these expansion updates or they just release new games that just aren't quite baked, or their plan or the strategy is not quite fully realized, and they're having issues with it. Developers are having issues with keeping gamers happy in general. All right, moving on to the Steam Deck. And unfortunately, I will not be getting my Steam Deck until Q3 of 2022 because thanks, DICE, that I pre-ordered it at the day I was supposed to pre-order it. But anyways, moving on, there actually is some good-ish news about it, that there are Windows drivers for the Steam Deck. Now, if you're going to put Windows on the Steam Deck, it is not officially supported. It's only Windows 10, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with Windows 10. And you cannot dual boot it. That will come in a later update. So if you want to do it, be prepared for some trial and errors. You can recover it to be a Steam OS. I would just wait for a dual boot feature because that would be a lot easier. And you'll be able to play games that maybe isn't compatible with the Steam OS onto Windows 10. Now, there will be an update for Windows 11 for the FTMP. So you can actually use Windows 11 as well, since finally Windows 11 is going to be the newest update, going to be, well, good enough to actually decide to want to upgrade, because I decided to do it the second time. It's a lot better than when I first did it. So that's always a good thing, because when I first did it on my desktop, it was a little rough and I kind of kicked myself for actually doing it. But the good news is that you will be able to do boot it. There is no release date on that, but at least there will be a do boot option on that one as well. And you will be able to eventually do Windows 11 if you care about that. If not, Windows 10 is still a great operating system all by itself. All right, moving on to, is Razer copying Elgato? Well, yes and no. So here's the thing. They've come out with two new audio devices and one lighting device. The first audio device is basically a lavalier type of microphone. I don't really trust Razer on the audio side of it. No offense, Razer, but your Synapse is not great. And a lot of times your audio is just awful. So here's the thing. It can or may be able to compete with, let's say, the Rode Wireless Go 2 or, you know, one of the Tascams as well. But it's basically just a Bluetooth type of microphone. It is $100, so it's not too expensive, but given that audio quality is most of the time subpar on Razer, I would not really get this at all, to be honest with you. I may decide if I want to review it or not, but it's Razer. It's just one of those things where I'm just like not always looking forward to Razer audio stuff. The only thing I'm actually interested in Razer is their project for the desk. But even that, I'm kind of like, do I really want to be a part of the Synapse ecosystem? But anyways, there's that one. Also, there is an audio mixer that is $250. And that thing, it looks like a small Go XLR. If you're looking for something like that, go with the Go XLR. Once again, use the Synapse. I'm just not really loving a lot of what's going on with this. So it's supposed to help. There is one XLR input in the back. I wish it looked like a Beacon or an Elgato software, but it doesn't. It looks clunky. It's one of those things where you might as well go after something else. $250 is quite a lot for really small. I mean, it does have faders, which is kind of cool, but you can get a Go XLR Mini for that for probably a little bit cheaper, maybe about the same price on that one. And I mean, it's an all-in-one system built around basically audio mixing and audio presets, modulations, and everything is baked into it. So, like I said, I just can't get behind it. And then there is the Razer Keylight Chroma, which is basically just a key light. It has RGB, it has Bluetooth, it has everything, but you can get like a newer one for, I got two of them for $200, which is the same thing that this one does for cheaper. It has Bluetooth. I can control it with either the back or Bluetooth with my phone. Like, it's a lot cheaper to do it that way. So like I said, I'm not really set on this. I get why they're trying to get into it, but man, it's just a lot of times Razer just does some things half baked and sometimes I just don't think about it. I hope these are actually good products, but they are expensive. They are very expensive for Razer's okay history with audio. Some of their mics have been good. Some of their mics have not been good whatsoever. They've been sound tinny or hollow. So if you love Razer, this will be great. If you don't, I would say just don't even try it. All right, moving on to Overwatch 2. There actually is news. So the news is that, well, there's going to be a beta. There's going to be a beta at the end of next month, so we'll be able to play it and see how it is. They also are decoupling or separating both the PvP and the PvE. The reason why they're doing this is development is taking way too long. They've noticed their game has taken a complete hit on this, so they're trying to figure out what to do with this. It is one of those things where I'm glad they're trying something new. Now, it's still 5v5, so you were looking for a 6v6. Well, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. But there's that. There's also a new ping system. You'll be able to play Sojourn. There's also a bunch of hero reworks you'll be able to play with this beta to see how well they actually do. So that should be interesting as well. It's one of those things where I'm like, maybe I'll be able to play the new push mode as well. So that's another thing. There's also four new maps: Escort map, Circus Royale, Hybrid map, Midtown, plus new Queen Screen, and Glossal. Man, that was hard to say. I don't know why. For push maps, new ping system, and then the new four hero reworks is Orisa, Doomfist, Bastion, and Sombra. So you'll be able to play those if you get into it. Now, I had a really hard time yesterday because it was actually announced yesterday for this, that, man, their website was struggling, like, just to get to it where it was like, hey, you're in. It was kind of like, well, nope, gotta try again. I tried for like until middle afternoon and I was able to actually work properly. But at least they have some new things. The update also said that we apologize for not actually having more messaging on this. We will do better moving forward. That remains to be seen, but at least they acknowledge it. That's the best we can hope for this one. So hopefully I get into it. If I don't, if the beta is actually happening, I'm foreseeing hopefully this will come out maybe late 2022 or early to mid 2023 is my guess, but that's just a guess. They will be able, or Overwatch leagues will be able to actually play this now, so they can actually get used to it, the 5v5 type of dynamics with this, because now it's just one tank, two DPS, two support. There is no more two tanks, which I have very mixed feelings about this, but there's not really much I can do about that. All right, moving on to, well, the virtue signaling of the Ukraine and Russian war, because everybody and their mother is basically hurting everyday normal Russians because it's all their fault for the war that they have no control over whatsoever. So let's hurt them because that will stick it to Putin. So we've had just about every gaming company, including Twitch, basically saying that they're going to stop selling their games. Twitch is stop going to give their money to Russian streamers. Basically saying that you're screwed, Russian citizens. I know this may not be your fault, but we're still going to blame it on you because we need to feel good. We need to know that we have stopped the war by stopping video games. Stick it to the Russian gamers because they're the bad men. I think they've written too many Russian video games where the Russians are the bad guys, like No Russia, for example, where they probably should have thought level headed. I mean, what was the point of this? Like, you stopped the war. Congratulations. No, you didn't do anything. What you did was just basically be like virtue signaling. Look what we're doing. We're doing something, everybody. Look at us. We are a virtuous, upright company. And it's like, no, you're kind of douchebags. See, here's the thing that they actually should have done. Keep selling your games. But for the sales you get, for the revenue you get from Russia, funnel it to Ukraine. Basically funnel it to the humanitarian efforts through Red Cross or anything like that. That would have kept the Russian people from hating us so much, hating the Westerners or the Western companies, because you unnecessarily blamed them for a dictator that decided to go in and invade a country. Let's think about this. Why would you very intentionally hurt the people who have no control over their leader to force the leader to stop the war that he's already far too involved with to actually stop the war? I mean, what end is this? Is that basically everybody's just from Russia to be like, well, F you guys, I don't want to buy from you anymore. I'd rather just buy from Russian developers. At least they won't cut me off and say like, screw you guys. You guys are all bad because of your leader. Bad Russian people. We know that you've been protesting. We know that there's a martial law out and that you could have 15 years in prison if you decide to protest him. And you could be fined 1.4 million rubles or about $1,400 in US dollars for this. But we're still going to stick it to you because that will end the war. I got a little spat with somebody on Twitter. Ironically, someone that works at DICE. And I said, why don't you actually spend your time fixing your game? Because he was like, we're sticking it to Putin because F you, Putin. And we're going to stop our sales of our games. I'm like, how does this help? Like, who are you helping? Nobody. Well, all the taxes and everything, it will stop him. I'm like, there's only a few ways to stop Putin. One, cut off the oil, which we're finally doing, which is a little too late. And two, China. So none of these are actually going to work. You're not stopping the sales from the Chinese market, because heaven forbid, if you stop sales on that one, that could be really, really bad for your bottom line. Yeah, see, it just doesn't really make understand, because the gaming company, a lot of these companies don't care about Russia. It's a huge country, but it's not that huge of an economy. See, if they actually did this to China, this would actually hurt them and they wouldn't do it because they're not doing it. See, we're only doing it to Russia because it doesn't hurt the bottom line as much. But the problem is the Russian people aren't our enemies. It's the Russian dictator and his military advisors that are. Maybe the oligarchs, I'm not really sure, but just the upper echelon people usually are the main culprits, not the ordinary people just trying to survive. The other issue I have with this now is they can do all this, so what if they just decide to do it to us if they don't like how we're talking about things, like the whole thing of toxicity, because toxicity is such a non-subjective term. So they can say, oh, you're very toxic in our game. Ban him from everything. I mean, there's nothing you could do. I mean, we have to be very careful and watch very closely on what's going on with this, because this is not a good thing that's happening. Like the whole just basically killing an entire country's economy could easily be done to a single person of killing off their livelihood in just the greater society. You still be able to maybe live off the land and build an own house if you have the know-how to actually do it, and if you actually have the community around you, which that will probably be a bigger issue down the road. But as a current person living in Western society, if you have the wrong ideas, how are they not going to be able to stop you or basically cancel you from credit cards, buying video games, getting money on Twitch, playing on Twitch, posting on Facebook or social media in general. I mean, this is why alt tech or alt social media sites are very important, because they are the answer to really weird policies going on. So gaming companies, my thing to you is, A, Russia's not, the Russian people, I should say, are not your enemy. They really are. Two, you didn't have to stop the sales of your games at all. Just be like, look at, we're going to keep on selling in Russia to you guys, because we understand, we get that you are not responsible for this at all. But every sale that we get from you guys is going to humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. Simple. Didn't have a lot of hoopla about it. Would probably been the smartest thing I've ever seen. And that could be even done for all the credit card companies, all the other businesses. Hey, every sale that comes out of Russia, we're putting back into Ukraine. The smartest thing you could do. Oh, it's not that simple. As simple as cutting off all your transaction systems or everything else, maybe servers too, from playing games in Russia. This is not well thought out, guys. Think smarter, not harder. And you think way too hard about this, where you thought, yeah, that will get them. Ha. War is good. It really isn't. It's only good when you're playing a video game, because no one actually gets hurt. War is actually terrible in real life. But let's stop decoupling Russian people from Western society, and let us encourage them to be part of Western society, because that's what we want. We want them to love Western society. We don't want them to be pushed to China. China's bad. And it's really interesting how we're okay with cutting off Russia, but we'll take Chinese investment all day long. Funny how that is. But that's for another topic. But what do you think? Do you think I'm way off about this message of we should allow or have the gaming companies still do business in Russia, but then just give the money to humanitarian efforts? I'm way off. Let me know in the comments below. But thank you for listening to Digital Coffee. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Leave a 5-star review. And if you don't, just let me know how I can do better. And join me next week to talk to you about what's going on in the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe, game on, and be a friend to a Russian citizen. See you next week. Later.